we started a new series which is Birds of the Bible, and we started talking about the doves, which have a good reputation of being a symbol of peace, of the presence of God and purity. And we're going to go from that to the raven today. Doesn't quite have the same ring, does it? Or the same reputation. Culturally, in modern times and over the centuries, due to their dark appearance, their haunting call, and their scavenging ways, they consume decaying flesh of animals or people. Ravens have been associated with spookiness and Halloween, and bad omens and death. Have you heard that ravens or crows are capable of holding a grudge? That's true. Crows can recognize and remember human faces, especially of those who have done them wrong. So if you ever plan to be mean to a crow, you may want to wear a mask. If not, it's possible that you'll get loudly scolded or worse each time you walk by. Researchers have found that crows not only hold on to a grudge, they tell other crows about it as well, so dangerous. So, it's understandable. That, unlike doves, art and literature haven't been kind to crows. They've haven't been the commentators of the Bible, haven't either, whether it's ancient or modern, Jewish or Christian. So, for example, the raven is the first bird which is mentioned specifically in the Bible. In the story of Noah and the Ark. Yes, that's right, the same story of the dove that we heard last week. But right before Noah sent out the dove three times, he first sent out a raven. It says that he sent out a raven and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. That's all. We don't have anything else. We're not given any clear indication as for a greater meaning or the purpose of the raven being sent out first and flying around until the water had dried up. The text just abruptly moves on to the dove. I tried to research and look into what different people had understood about it, and my conclusion is that, if I'm honest, we simply don't know. We simply don't know. So in the absence of clear information or indications, commentators, Jewish, modern, Christian, ancient, we're all over the place with their theories that go from some somewhat interesting to some very crazy and far-fetched and less likely. But one thing that is consistent, all the theories were negative. None paint the raven in a positive light. Did it fail as its mission when the dove was obedient, or did it stay out to feed off the dead bodies floating in the water? Or did it get kicked out of the ark for committing some act of impurity? Or maybe it represents evil impulses or even the devil. At minimum, it was not the dove of the story, the hero, the enduring symbol of peace. At worst, the raven, it has a mysterious verse. At worst, it represents something unclean, evil, or evil even devilish. The Raven gets some bad press for this story, but that could be based on suppositions and assumptions and prejudice which is culturally informed. But we do know that the law that God gave the nation of Israel, he affirms that the ravens are considered one of the unclean birds, which means that they could not be eaten. But contrary to what we might assume, if we look at the few places where a raven is mentioned in the Bible, by God the Father or by Jesus, it's surprisingly, overwhelmingly positive. First of all, in the romantic Song of Songs, a man whose hair was wavy and as black as a raven, he had a beautiful head of hair. That along with dove eyes, wow. In ancient Israel, if you had raven hair and dove eyes, you were the complete package. I've just got back from the marriage retreat yesterday, so. But more significantly, we see them as objects, surprising objects of God's provision, of God's care. They're specifically selected in Job, the Psalms, and by Jesus as examples for us of God's provision and his care. Jesus surely had these Old Testament passages in mind when he tells his followers, consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much valuable are you? How much more valuable are you than birds? So yes, this kind of theme verse of a series where Jesus famously says in Matthew, consider the birds. He has a not-so-known parallel in Luke, which specifies the ravens. That's interesting. And secondly, we see them as a surprising agents of God's provision and care. You may have heard of Prophet Elijah of the Old Testament, but I wonder if you know his first appearance, and it involves these unexpected birds. Elijah announces to the king of Israel, Ahab, that God would bring an absolute drought on the land. And that was in response to Ahab doing more evil than all the kings before him, even marrying Jezebel from the kingdom of Sidon. And with her foreign influence, he started to serve and worship their demonic gods, which involved all kind of heinous acts. So after Elijah making that inflammatory announcement, God told Elijah, you better get out of here, you need to lie low, and that makes sense. But then he said something doesn't make so much sense. As this drought starts, go out to the desert by this brook. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So Elijah did what God had told him, and in the morning and the evening ravens brought him bread and meat, and he drank from the brook. That's strange. But it does seem clear. Ravens are meant to teach us about God's provision. And maybe less obviously, I think ravens are meant to teach us something about God's perspective. So going back to Luke chapter 12, Jesus, with the ravens, he encourages us not to worry or not be anxious about our lives. What we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. Something which is very comforting, but it's a difficult teaching to live out. But it helps us realize that we can't add an hour to our life by worrying. And God knows our needs, and He can be trusted to provide. Because He says life is ultimately more than food and clothing. There's a greater purpose. So He challenges us not to set our heart on frantically chasing after these things, but to prioritize, firstly, our part in God's purposes and the kingdom's purposes, and to trust in God for the rest. So why didn't Jesus use a dove for this teaching, or a sparrow like He did earlier? For His audience, the raven wasn't really a cared for bird. It wasn't particularly liked either, because it wasn't useful. Not for eating, or for sacrifices, or even to hear the birds sing in the morning. All the birds He could have used, Jesus selected the raven as the clear example of His powerful teaching. If God cares for and takes care of the raven, this bird which is not so cared for, not so liked, not so useful, how much more does He care for you? And will He take care of you? If God values every part of His creation, even the unappreciated, the unclean, and the avoided, think of how much He values you. This value means we can trust Him to provide for our needs. Yes, even when it's hard. And again, Jesus seems to place that as a secondary thing. He thinks you're valuable enough to be part of His kingdom and to be a part of His purposes now. So, have you ever felt unappreciated, unclean, avoided? Have you ever felt like you're not valuable? Maybe you've said, I'm too X for God to accept or love me. Or maybe you've said, I'm not whatever enough to be useful for His purposes. This morning I want to encourage you to see yourself through God's eyes, His perspective. His grace is greater than anything you've ever been or done. And He's proven that He's able to, and He loves to use the most unexpected, broken, imperfect instruments for His special purposes and beautiful things. And that brings us back to Elijah's ravens. God sends unclean birds to supply Elijah with food. Why didn't God send doves? Now, there seems to be a parallel, an important thing here. Immediately after this, God sends Elijah, a person that Elijah might have considered unclean, and that person supplies him with food. God sends him a non-Jewish, a Gentile widow from Sidon, the same region as the evil queen Jezebel. But this poor woman shows an incredible faith in the one true God. She's got enough ingredients for one last meal for her and her son. And Elijah comes along and he asks her to make some bread for him as well. But he said, if she does this, God will miraculously cause her flour and oil to keep refilling until the drought is over. So she does. And God does that. So think about it. Elijah, to avoid the faithless king of Israel, is sent out of Israel to be first fed by unclean ravens, and then to be fed and helped by what was considered an unclean Gentile widow. We might expect a dove to be a faithful messenger from God. But a raven is a bit of a surprise. We might expect a rich Israelite to be a faithful provider. But the poor Gentile widow is a surprise. God's surprising use of ravens and a Gentile widow as his agents of care and provision. His care, his provision, was used to expand Elijah's faith and expand his understanding of the heart of God for all people. Jesus even makes reference to this moment as an example of the lack of faith that can come from the expected people and the impressive faith and faithfulness that can come from the least expected people. Now, God never said, hate ravens. He said they were unclean, as in, don't eat them, because what they do is unclean. They eat dead things, and that will make you sick. But they're still his creation, so he takes care of them. He never said Gentiles are unclean. He said what the nations do is unclean. Their evil ways and worship of other gods is contagious. And that's exactly what happened with King Ahab. But all people are his creation. The Israelites were supposed to welcome the foreigner with kindness, to live among them according to God's ways. They were supposed to love them as if they were native born. Because God loves the foreigner. He provides them food and clothing. And the Israelites should too. And this wasn't the last time God would use unclean birds to expand his servant's faith and understand his heart for all people. After Jesus had ascended, he showed the Apostle Peter a vision of unclean animals and unclean birds. And a raven may very well have been among them. And when Peter refused to eat, kill and eat like he'd been instructed, the Lord told him, don't consider unclean what I have made pure. This was to communicate to him that God shows no partiality. The Gentiles were to be invited into the family of God by believing in Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit just as he and the Jews had. And that made me wonder, is there anyone that I consider or treat as unclean that God has made pure? Maybe it's without realizing it. But the challenge today is to first see ourselves with God's eyes, God's perspective. And the second is to see others with God's eyes, God's perspective. Are there people in my life that I tend to avoid or underappreciate? Or maybe even treat as unclean? Who is someone that I have trouble seeing the value in? Maybe you'd think, if you're very honest, they're too whatever for me to accept or love. Maybe you'd think they're not whatever enough to be useful in His purposes. But this morning I want to challenge all of us to see all people through God's eyes, from God's perspective. We all need His loving grace, which is greater than anything we've done or been. And we are all unexpected, broken, imperfect instruments that need to be cleansed by God to be useful for purposes and His beautiful things. And you know what? Ravens, yes, they have the ability to hold grudges, but they also are able to remember people who were kind to them. And actually, since someone got over the spooky, morbid, unclean reputation, and be able to befriend and love and train in truth these amazing birds. We now know that a raven can be very obedient, loving, and useful. If truth and love can redeem a raven, truth and love can redeem anyone. And these days, the crow is actually recognized as the smartest bird in the world. They can solve complex multi-step puzzles, they can use tools, and they can understand even water displacement. Have you ever seen one of these videos? I want to conclude with this. What would it look like in your life to put trust in God for your needs so you can prioritize His purposes and be useful in His kingdom? As an example, for us to be a surprising agent of provision, physical or spiritual. Because time, energy, and finances are precious resources that we tend to want to guard to ourselves. But what about demonstrating our trust and our thanks for God's provision by doing things like Project Generosity? It could be a warm Easter or a basket of groceries for someone that needs it more than I do. Or it could be an encouraging visit to a stranger in the hospital without hope or company. In all this, in your own daily environment, and by inviting people you know to courses like Alpha, which John will talk about in a minute, we can ultimately be a surprising agent of delivering the good news of the provision that God has made for us all to come to Him, no matter who they are. If truth and love can redeem a raven, truth and love can redeem anyone.